Morning. You know, throughout the Bible, it compares the Christians and the church to parts of the body. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Likewise, keeping with that same thought, the Bible compares the spiritual growth of Christians with the physical growth of the human body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, Paul writes, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly." In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, the writer of Hebrews says, "Concerning Him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3, Peter writes, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." So think about the analogy being made by the Holy Spirit. When we become children of God, when we become Christians, we are babies in Christ. Like babies, there is a lot that we cannot do because we do not yet have the ability. Spiritual babies are still getting used to their new surroundings, getting used to being in the Lord's church and what that all entails. And they need others to help them. Now, physically, when we think about physical babies, that's parents, right? Normally, parents are the ones that are helping their children, doing those things that they have yet to learn to do and will learn to do in time if properly helped and led. Now, for the spiritual babies, that is our brothers and sisters in the family. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are the ones that assist us. We are the family of God. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. He says, "While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, 'Who is my mother and my brothers?' And stretching out his hands toward his disciples, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" See, we are the family of God. As we do the will of the Father in heaven, we are brothers. We are family. We are sisters and brothers in Christ. And we seek to do those things that God would have us to do. But these young babies, they need milk in order to grow and to strengthen. You cannot give a baby a ribeye steak. That just doesn't work very well for them. They're not ready for that. Their little body's not ready for that. They need something that is more easily digested. And so they need the milk. And we give them the milk so that they can grow. Spiritually, this milk is the basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those elementary principles that the writer of Hebrews mentioned. And at a point, physical babies have to stop, though, drinking milk, and they do need to start eating solid food. Milk can only aid growth so far, and then at some point it ceases to meet all the needs that the baby's growing body has. And so at some point they've got to step up and start doing something else. They got to eat that solid food. They got to have that solid meat, which causes the baby to grow. If that baby continues to remain on milk, they will just get weaker and weaker after that point, which milk ceases to provide them the things that they need on a daily basis. So if we want them to grow strong, then solid food must be put into their diet. Spiritually, solid food is learning the more difficult teachings of the gospel, to dig deeper into the truth that God has provided for us. And this enables the Christian to understand the more difficult aspects of why, and also is the place where application takes place. The application doesn't take place until there is some good understanding of the truth. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Mature knowledge enables proper practice, which enables one to be able to tell the difference between good and evil. He's talking about application, but that application comes as a result of people being on solid food. People reaching down deep into the text. See, application cannot take place without knowledge and will not take place without faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And why I say that is because, number one, you got to know what you're applying to apply it. So you got to have knowledge. And number two, when we're talking about spiritual things, we're talking about how we live for Jesus Christ, that's not always an easy thing. It's not always what I want to do. If it was what everybody wanted to do, it'd be real easy. But that's why you got to have faith before you can have application, because you won't apply what you don't believe in. You have to trust that what Jesus Christ is saying, that's the best. So we first have to build that foundation of knowledge before those things will ever be successful. You know, we cannot forget about teaching, first and foremost, God's holy word. Tell you what, you come to know God's word, you come to know the Bible, and you get onto the solid food, application becomes a whole lot easier than trying to apply application when you have no idea why you're doing it. Need to know the truth. Bible teaching is paramount before all else. You know, we could continue to examine this line of thought, but I think that we have laid a foundation. But let's consider for the next few moments, how old are you? How old are you this morning spiritually? Now, we have every age range in here, from baby to quite old. And you know, we got everything in between as I look out across the audience. And you know, this, when I ask you how old are you spiritually, understand this age has nothing to do with your physical age. Nothing whatsoever to do with that. Nor does it have anything to do with how many years you've been a Christian. I have known people that have been a Christian for just a few years to be far more mature, far older spiritually in their growth than those that have been Christians for many decades. Some that have been Christians for longer than I have been alive. And so it has nothing to do that with that. It is, this growth is determined by faith, and this growth is determined by knowledge. So how old are you? Are you just a small baby? You know, if you were recently baptized, you are. And that's fine. And that's right. This question is not about you. You are right where you are supposed to be. You have been, as John 3 says, born into the family of God by the water and the Spirit. You are a baby. And that's just where you need to be. You are the person that has become a disciple in Matthew chapter 28. And now, after having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you need to be taught all things that Jesus Christ spoke. So you are right where you're supposed to be. And God bless you for being there. In fact, we pass through all the stages that we talk about this morning. It only becomes a problem when we stop growing and decide to stay at a particular stage, right? When I decide, hey, I kind of like right here, I'll stay right here, and that is never going to be a good thing. We all know those who would not grow up and how that is a problem, and that's really what we're considering. We know those people, right? We look at them and we go, he's just a child in a man's body, right? You've known those people. I've known those people. People that just refuse to move to adulthood, even in this physical life. But I want to talk about those the writer of Hebrews talked about when he spoke of those who should be grown up by this point, but they're not. Instead of growing up, are you a screaming and demanding baby that refuses to grow up? With little understanding of the Scripture, such people actually think the church is here to simply meet their needs every time they cry, every time they scream or yell. the church is here to run to them because they have never come to the point of growing up to be responsible for their own lives. They cry and want everybody to run. Yet their wants are not what they need. It is like babies, right? A baby wants to put things in his mouth, right? He wants to chew on this and chew on that. Some pretty nasty stuff gets picked up by babies and put in their mouth. And parents are like, oh, no. And they got three hands in their mouth, right? That poor child's mouth's like that wide with mama's and daddy's hands trying to keep that from going down their throat. But what a baby picks up, they may think they won't, but that is not what they need in their mouth, right? Somebody needs to keep them from doing what they want and direct them toward what they need. But oftentimes those that are remaining babies and staying babies, it's all about what they want. And they have forgotten and are completely clueless in regard to what they need. The church of Corinth was filled with such individuals. They had little understanding, but yet they were always demanding. In their ignorance at the church of Corinth, they perverted baptism into something that was focused on men and not Christ. That was all about what I want. I want my baptism to be better than your baptism, instead of needing Jesus Christ's baptism only in their life. I am of Peter. I am of whoever, Paulus. Paul, in the letter, soundly condemns that. In their immature selfishness, they sued each other in court. That's all about what I want. They excluded people from the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Imagine this morning if we'd gotten up here and said, well, we really don't like this section of the church. Y'all are just kind of the out crowd. And we're just going to dismiss the guys on this side. We're not going to serve y'all today. Imagine that. That's what was going on. Some came, some were served, and some were not. Some were a part of it. Some, they said, were actually just eating till they were full, and this turned it into a feast, but they were eating till they were full, and others were sitting over here completely hungry. And a Christian brother wouldn't offer one thing to them. It's all about the me in that kind of situation. And they were in prideful conflict, even regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had turned that into a me thing. God had given them abilities that were miraculous in order for them to use for the betterment of the gospel, and they had taken them and turned them into a selfish point of pride. I speak in tongues. What do you do? Oh, you're just a prophecy guy? Oh, well, I'm going to go hang out with the tongue people, right? That's what it had turned into. That's babies. And they sought the immediate gratification as well by rejecting the resurrection and taking hold of immorality. That's why Paul said, if this is really true, you do just need to eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow you die. It just doesn't really matter. Just live for right now. Just live for what I want. Don't worry about what you need. They failed to understand the difference between their opinions and the truth of God. What I think is the case is what everybody should think is the case. In things that do not have a biblical teaching. And yet that was all about them as well. They were babies, unable to be productive by their choice to not move on to the meat of God's will that would have enabled them to grow past such behaviors. See, we got a golden retriever, and I'm just living for the day she gets out of this Cujo phase where she wants to eat me every time I try to touch her. I mean, that mouth is just like this all the time, trying to find something to latch on to. And I know she'll eventually grow out of that. And even with our babies, right? There's things that, that keeping me up all night crying or having to get up or having to change diaper. We know eventually they're going to grow out of those things, right? Greatest day of my parenting was the day I changed my last diaper. And so, we long for those wonderful times that we know they'll grow out of. But, sometimes in spiritual ways, people don't grow out of it. They just keep doing it. They stay right there. Second, are you a small, spoiled child looking for a place to play? Such people may have grown past being babies, but do not have the desire to be adults because they like playing too much. Young children do not like chores, right? They do not like housework. My mother had me loading dishwasher. I don't even remember when I first loaded a dishwasher. It's been so long, and cleaning things and dusting and stuff. But I hated every minute of it because I knew every moment I spent as a young child, every moment I spent dusting or loading the dishwasher was one moment less I wasn't outside playing, riding my bike, or doing something else. You know, it was keeping me from doing what I like to do. And in the church, there are those that are spiritually young children. They know the work that needs to be done, but only want to do the fun things in their lives. Evangelism, learning, helping others understand God's Word, and telling people what they need, you know, the hard things that they need to hear. Well, that's just too much work. That would require me to study. That would require me to put it all out there on the line. And that's just not fun. I don't enjoy church that's like that. I want to have fun. I want it to be a fun time. And I don't want to have to do the hard work that is called upon us to do by the Heavenly Father. They would rather church be all about having fun and enjoying themselves with all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the gospel. They are the reasons when there is a fun activity after a worship service that the numbers in attendance go up that one time and then return to the norm. Coming for God and learning is not enough for such people. Let me have some fun and I'll show up. That's not faith. That's being a child. These spiritual children are like the Israelites and Judges. And they did when they did what was easy and right according to their own desires, but they didn't do what God wanted. Why? Because it was hard. Did they clear the land completely of the inhabitants? No. Why? Because they got to a point where it was easy and they didn't want to do any more hard. And they stopped and God condemned them for it. And over and over and over, when it came to making the hard choices, they chose the easy ones they liked. God would never accept such, and still does not today. Third, are you a spiritual teenager? No offense to you guys, we've all been teens, so we all know that this is the case. I was the same way. Are you a spiritual teenager with just enough knowledge to be dangerous? But not having done enough to have a lot of useful experience. Right? We know, we understand that. Who here was a very smart teenager? But now, the teenagers raise their hands. But no adult does. Because we understand some facts, okay? We understand some things looking at history. You know, hindsight is 20/20. Hindsight helps us a lot if we look at it properly. Well, speaking from our spiritual standpoint, such people have done some study and they understand some scriptures, but have done very little and have little experience in teaching and working in spiritual matters. They think they have come to understand things that are not really true, and they will not listen to those who have much more maturity and much more experience in regards to those things because they have just enough to think they know it all. Now, by the way, this doesn't just go to teenagers. I've seen adults of all ages have this same problem, right? I know just enough to think I know it all. And yet, they've stopped studying and stopped really looking for the truth. They have decided, don't bother me with facts, I've already got my mind made up. Well, these people take controversial issues, and with little or no scriptural understanding, they try to justify them, and they are justifying things that are wrong because they want to be accepted by those around them. Well, you know, one of the toughest things for a young person in their world is this issue of acceptance, of people accepting them for who they are. And we call it peer pressure, and we got other names for it. But it is a difficult thing, and it's hard, and let's never make that smaller than it is because it's very difficult for them in their world. But yet, sometimes we as Christians are the same way. We want the church, or we want ourselves as children of God, to be accepted by the world when, simply put, the things that we believe will not be accepted by the world. The only way to be accepted is to reject those things that Christ said. Because they rejected Christ Himself. And so if they rejected Christ and you follow His teachings, you are guaranteed, as Jesus said on the night before He died, to be rejected too, to be hated by the world. He said the world would love their own. But if you follow Me, they'll hate you. Just like they hated Me. So it's an unrealistic expectation. and one that we just need to not waste our time endeavoring to accomplish. These people argue without knowledge for acceptance of things like drinking alcohol, for dressing immodestly, for immorality, for evolution over the Bible text in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. That there is not just one church that is right, that the denominational world is all right with Jesus Christ. They argue for things such as instrumental music in the worship, entertainment-driven worship services, a change in women's roles, modern miracles, and not needing to attend all of the worship services. Trying to justify and accept all these and other issues are just a sure sign of spiritual childishness. They need to mature in knowledge and practice to know what the Bible teaches to be right and to be wrong. You need to search the Scriptures. Be willing to change. Be willing to be open to what the Bible has to say. For I've had people tell me these things and try to advocate these things, and when brought to face to face with what the Scripture says about these things, it's okay, thank you, but they really don't want it. They have closed their eyes, their hearts, and their ears to what the truth is and are unwilling to accept it because they think they know better than God Himself. These people are the ones that Isaiah spoke of and what I just mentioned about their eyes and their ears and their hearts that Jesus reiterated. And He said that as long as such people are like that, as long as such people refuse to hear and to acknowledge and to accept what the truth of God's Word says, He says, I cannot heal them. And there's only one thing that Jesus Christ is healing you of today, and that is the forgiveness of sins. And if He cannot forgive you of your sins, you cannot be saved. And that is why I stand up here and say these things that I know some people don't like to hear. Because we all, to some degree or another, need healing. May we never have a heart or eyes or ears that prevent Jesus from being able to do just that. That prevents us from walking in the light as He Himself is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. You know, last of all, well, fourth. Are you a, I know some of y'all were reaching for your songbook, weren't you? Number four. Are you a spiritual young adult trying to find time in your busy schedule to continue your spiritual growth? You know, I can sense right now everybody's waiting for their age group to come up, aren't you? He's coming to me eventually. No, I'm not. Only one more after this one, so not going to hit every type of age demographic. Are you a spiritual young adult trying to find time in your busy schedule to continue your spiritual growth? You know, when we move into the early years of adulthood, our schedules grow increasingly busy. I mean, we have jobs. I mean, these are things we can't help. We have jobs, we have spouses to care for, we have children to raise. And the adult world is a busy world, and it is so far removed from our younger years. How many adults wish they had the carefreeness that they had when they were teenagers, where they had no day-to-day grind other than going to school, maybe? You know, I don't wish for my teenage years. I didn't care much for them, but I did like the schedule. It was a whole lot better back then. So I'll take the schedule now without going back to those days. But, you know, those who are spiritually this age have matured but now face the temptation of not giving the time to keep growing. You know, see, like in Hebrews chapter 5, there came a time when we should do more. He says, for by this time you ought to have been teachers, but while you should be here, you're not, for whatever reason. You haven't grown to the point that you need to grow. Because growth, it takes, you know, doing this takes more time and more energy. And this is hard when we feel like we're already stressed to the end, that we're already burning our candle at both ends trying to work and take care of our family and stuff and those things that we have to do. Every one of those things we have to do. Now, I'm not saying that you can give up any one of those things. You know, you got to work. It's hard to put food on the table without work. You know, and you got to take care of your family. That's a God-given responsibility. You got to take care of your wife. That's a God-given responsibility. Wives, you got to care and love your husband. That's a God-given responsibility. So those are things that you're doing because you're faithful children of God. You're responsible people. But, you know, their conscience, because they have this knowledge, because they have grown to this point, their conscience from their biblical knowledge that they've gained in their growth to a young adulthood tells them all the things that they know they need to be doing. All those things that the Bible, that God says, I've made you my people to do these things. To be my ambassadors on my behalf. It is time to serve in greater ways and study more. We know that as we reach these adult years, that we need to be teachers. But not just teachers that walk in and pick up the book off of our table because we didn't even take it home with us and we can wing it because we're just that bright. But teachers that take time to prepare and to study. That it's time for us to be deacons. That it's time for us to be more evangelistic. For us to begin to prepare to be elders one day. You know, don't go, you know, well, hopefully when I get to be however old, somebody will think I'm okay to be a deacon. No, an elder. No, you need to be working toward that day. Making your life like Christ and forming yourself more and more in the image of what He would have you to be so that you are more prepared for that. We know that it's time to be more evangelistic, to edify the brethren with greater effort, to learn ways to study the Bible text that take us even deeper and push us even further into knowledge of Jesus Christ. There comes that point where, you know, you're going to need to maybe have a library, maybe get one of those Bible software programs, learn to use it and really use it to look at the text more closely. Now, there are some choices to make, just as there is as we enter into adulthood in our physical life. Something has to give in our activities and our lifestyle. We already mentioned you can't quit the wife, right? Can't leave the children at Walmart. Although mine left me at several places. I still don't know whether that was on purpose or not. They did come back. We can't quit the job, right? All right, so those are kind of off the table. Those are things we got to do. So it's going to be our fun times and doing those other things that's going to have to take some sacrifice, right? Sacrifices were never designed in the Bible to be things that you don't care to give. Sacrifices were always designed to make you give of that which you really wanted. That's why it's a sacrifice. I'm not sacrificing anything if I give something I don't want anyway. That's just giving it up, right? Or giving it away. The sacrifice is to give up what I really want for something better. And so we got this choice. We're going to have to choose between our activities and lifestyles and things that we need to do to continue to grow. And what will be chosen? The worldly wants or the spiritual needs of our lives? And the choice will either push us to greater service for Christ, or it will lead such people to choose to stop or slow growing, and then they will actually lose spiritual maturity. They will go backwards. For see, we're either moving forward or we're moving back. We're never stationary. Those Christians in Hebrews should have been here, but they've gone all the way back. They've gone even back before their baptism, right? Need to be taught again the elementary principles of the gospel. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The response to the gospel. They've forgotten those things. And see, I've known people that have been Christians 40 years and can't tell anybody what to do to be saved. Where are they? They can't even remember what they did to be baptized, right? Isn't that what Hebrews 5 is talking about? I did those things. I should know what they are. Because I couldn't be a child of God if I didn't do them. I didn't understand them. Well, it's a lot like our physical life here. At this point in life, we decide whether we're going to give up our things of childhood and take hold of responsibilities of adulthood. We've known those people that just could never get out of their childhood. Couldn't be responsible. Always having to help them because they will not step up and do what they need to do. We've seen that in physical life. But we see it in spiritual as well. This is such an important part of the spiritual life. So much comes from this decision. So many people at this point, when they're at that young adult phase, at this point, they make a choice and they either become core members of the Lord's church that are really active and really doing and really working and really growing, or they become those that just are going to sit the next 30 years and do very little. It comes from this choice. Will I move forward? Will I make the time for God? And it makes all the difference in the world. It is, I would venture to say, the Gethsemane moment for people oftentimes. Jesus in Gethsemane made a choice, and all the actions after it were based in the choice of not my will, but thy will be done. and that this is our time. This is the moment. If you are here, make a wise decision to move forward. To do as Paul said to the Philippians, to press on to the high calling of Jesus Christ and give your all to it. Lastly, are you a mature adult because of diligence and dedication to God and His Word? You know, such Christians have dedicated themselves to knowing the Bible. They have dedicated themselves to living the life that it sets forth. They are doing the hard things. They make extensive preparation in their teachings. And I guarantee you can tell who they are when they stand before your class. It takes me all of about a minute to tell who studied for their class and who threw it together, or who's winging it. It's obvious. You may think that you're really good, but it's not. You're not nearly as good at covering it. Nobody's that good at covering it up, really. If I did it, you could tell if I did it too. You could say, yeah, Nathan didn't come up with much there. He must have not done his work. But we can see it. But these people, they give extensive time to preparing because they understand the great responsibility of teaching and that God's going to hold them to account for what they say and what they do. These are the people doing the hard things, like openly standing against some of the most popular sins in our culture, regardless of how many people call them names. These are the people reaching out to the lost in order to be like Jesus by seeking and saving that which is lost. They are, as we've been talking about this year, they are soul-focused. They're focused on their souls, your souls, and the souls of the world that's lost. They are looking for more ways for the church to grow in spirit in Jesus. They're saying, what more can we do? We're doing this, but can't we do more? There's always more we can do. They are working to bring back the wayward sinners that have left our numbers, those sheep that have gone astray. They are not holding grudges because they didn't get their way or somebody said something they didn't like, but instead they are forgiving others when they are wronged. They give of their money, time, and energy for the local congregation, not because they're trying to put a number on the board or not because they think the church needs it or doesn't need it. They are giving it because they love Jesus Christ, and He said, give on the first day of the week at your local congregation. That's the love of an adult. They are putting God and others first, even before themselves, in that agape love that Jesus Christ had. Now, these are the people that make a difference in the Lord's work because they are giving themselves wholly to God. They are the ones that people talk about long after they leave this life. They're the ones that we say, you remember him? We all have talked about Christians that we've known in the past, right? Remember him? He was such a good Christian man. I can think of a number of good Christian men that gave their all that I look to and I try to imitate because they imitated Christ in their lives. They impact people because Christ is fully in them by knowledge of His truth. And that knowledge flows forth in them as like a light to all around them. If this is where you are, God bless you. But don't stop here. Don't stop growing. In our physical life, we never stop growing and we never stop changing physically until the day that we breathe that last breath, right? That's the moment we stop. I'll start getting more wrinkles. As Bobby mentioned a few weeks ago, more of my hair will fall out, Bobby. We talked about my dad having more. You know, I'm going to continue to change. Hopefully I don't keep getting wider. But I'm going to continue to change until I breathe my last and then I'll stop, right? And folks, when we think about spiritually, we are to never stop growing. We are never to stop changing more into the image of Jesus Christ until the day we breathe that last breath. It is the primary endeavor of every breath we take from the time we rise up from this watery grave to walk a new walk to the day we breathe our last and are carried to paradise by the angels of heaven. That is it. Never stop. However, the difference is that physical growth oftentimes makes us weaker, right, as we grow older. But see, spiritual is right the opposite, isn't it? Spiritual growth just makes us stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger as we continue to grow in it. That is why many of these old, mature Christians face death with a smile because they have fought the good fight. They have finished the course. They have kept the faith. And there is not one single doubt in their mind that as they're about to be poured out as an offering for Christ in death, that there's a crown of righteousness waiting in His hand that Jesus Christ will give to them and to all who have that kind of love for that day. That is why they have worked. That is why they have sacrificed. That is why they have studied. That is why they have taught. That is why they have lived, loved, and served. They have been faithful until death, as the book of Revelation tells us. And God bless them, and He will, as He has promised. So how old are you this morning? Are you an age that is appropriate and natural based on a life that has been working to grow? Because while you will tend to grow physically no matter what, spiritual growth only happens through work. Or should you be spiritually older than you are this morning? Should you be a young adult, but maybe you're just a teen? Should you be a mature Christian, but you're just a baby, maybe? Have you worked to grow by moving from milk to solid food, to giving more of yourself to the study of God's Word? Are you studying the Bible, the food for growth? Are you serving Christ, the exercise that enables growth? Are you sacrificing self? Selfishness never allows anyone to be better, ever. That's certainly true in Jesus Christ. Selfishness has no place there. Begin your life journey today. If you're not a Christian, you can begin it right now. If you understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches, if you understand your need this morning to obey that, you can begin this life journey or this spiritual growth in Jesus Christ. By coming and believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be buried in baptism. Having your sins washed away, that which separated you from God, being joined once again with God in redemption, you can then rise from that watery grave of baptism to walk a new life, a life that you start as a baby, but hopefully you will end as a strong, mature child of God. And you will know that there's a crown of righteousness for you in heaven. Maybe this morning you're a child of God that hasn't been doing all you should. Renew your effort today to grow. You know, you may not have been for all these years, but you start today and you start growing today, right? And you will become what God wants you to be. We can assist you with that. If you have a spiritual need this morning that we can help you with, in regards to being what Jesus Christ would have you to be, we hope and pray that you will let us. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.